Well, let's open our Bibles to Psalm 107. We're going to look at verses 23 and 24, and then we'll look at the rest of that psalm here in just a few moments. Back in the late 1940s, up through the early 1960s, there was a popular radio broadcast and then a television show that spun off of the radio broadcast called This Is Your Life. And the whole point of the show, the broadcast, was to surprise a celebrity or a well-known person and cause them to unexpectedly be the focus of the broadcast as the audience listened and watched as people from that individual's past told the celebrity's story that guided them down the path that they ended up to be on that would bring them notoriety or fame or whatever it might be. And I think the show is popular because it's always kind of fun to see people caught off guard, but for the right reason, to honor them. And that's what this show did. And as people were interviewed and people told stories and pictures were shown and so forth, we were able to discover what helped to shape that person's destiny, whether it was academics or sports or music or drama or theater or whatever it might be, politics, whatever it might be. We can learn from the biographies of other people. If we study their life story, we can become more sensitive to and more responsive to pivotal moments, defining moments in our lives as we look back and recognize what they were in the lives of other people. And as we read or listen to or watch people's biographies, we can learn why some people seem to get the most out of life and other people just don't. And maybe a part of the reason people don't have an adventurous life or a significant life or a life that is filled with challenge and opportunities and God's presence is maybe they just don't know how to have that kind of life. I don't like to talk about this a lot, but I guess I do. You know, I do a lot of funeral services. I did two in the last couple of weeks. And when I sit down to talk with families to review their loved one's biography, so to speak, it breaks my heart when I say, tell me about your loved one. Tell me about the highlights of his or her life. And I get a blank stare. And they go, well, you know, he was dad. And then sometimes there's families where it's like, for crying out loud, you know, you've been talking for an hour. And then, that's, you know, when I'm gone, I want whoever's going to do my service to tell my kids, okay, I get it. You know, God's fingerprints are all over this man's life. And it's not because I'm anybody awesome or unique or whatever. It's because God is awesome and God is unique. And I've learned some things about how to recognize an open door of opportunity so he can take me places I thought I'd never go and do things I thought I would never do. And those things are still happening in my life. I want them to happen in yours as well. And so I want to show you this morning how to get the most out of life because there's so much out there. And if you don't go for it, you're going to miss it. And so the big question, I think it's the right question to ask is, how do I know if God wants me to go for it? How do I know if I'm right, if this is really something God wants me to do? How do I know that God is going to let me do what I want to do in my life? Go places where I want to go. Do things that I want to do. How do I know if I've got God's seal of approval or stamp of approval on that? Well, first of all, it just really depends on what you want to do. If you want to do something that's sinful, there's no way he's going to support that. He's not going to provide for that. He's not going to back you up on that. But if it's not something that is what you would be shameful of, if you can't tell your mother, okay, I'll put it that way, then there's something I want you to consider. It's a verse of scripture that has significantly impacted my life. And it's a principle that was the foundation for my relationship with Joanne when I proposed to her. And we talked about the challenge of being married and spending our lives together. And I said, you know, sometimes you just got to do things by faith. That was more than 37 years ago. And when we started West Hill Church 27 years ago, it's a pretty big deal to start a ministry. You know, I was so surprised people came back for the second week. You know, you have your first service and there's people here. So here's what I want us to think about. This verse of scripture, Psalm 37:4. It says this, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Think about that. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. If God is your delight, if your relationship with God is healthy, if what you are doing in your life as you're living is honoring to God and pleasing to him, and your relationship with God is healthy, then let me ask you this question. What do you want to do? Do it. Because I believe if your relationship with God is strong and honoring to him, if your desire is to please God in the way that you're living, and that's how you are living, then God puts in your heart desires that he wants you to pursue. And he'll put things in front of you that you thought could never be done. He'll put in your desire to go places you thought you never could go. In relationships, in ministry, around the planet, whatever it might be. That has been my experience as a follower of Christ. And so, as long as what is in your heart is not sinful or selfish, if you want to honor God with your decisions and with your life, do what you want to do. Because those desires, I believe, he has planted inside your heart. And the thing that we're going to pursue are the things that we see, opportunities and options that we see. We're going to pursue our perspective. We're going to pursue our vision. And that's why I chose the cover for the bulletin this morning, this photograph here. What do you see? What draws you into this photo? What do you see that's desirable? What I see as I look at this photograph is an opportunity to venture out into the open waters, searching for and exploring what can't be seen beyond the horizon by getting on that sailboat and going out. Do you see the sailboat? How many of you didn't see it until I mentioned it? Some of you are honest enough to say that. How many of you are distracted by the hammock? Okay, doesn't that look inviting? Listen, there's nothing wrong with a hammock. I used to have one. Somebody borrowed it and never returned it. I can understand that, okay? There's nothing wrong with laying on a hammock and looking at the sky through palm branches. I did some of that this summer at the Indian Ocean, of all places. Never thought I'd be there. God opened the door and he provided a way, and we did that. It's one of those desires he put in our heart. And God says, I'm going to send you. And we went. It was amazing. It was amazing. But I don't want to spend the rest of my life in a hammock. I don't want to spend the rest of my life swaying back and forth gently in the warm breeze. It'd be nice for an hour or two, but there's so much more than just looking at the sky through palm branches. Because that's not what I want my kids to talk about or my friends and family at my funeral. Well, he spent a lot of time in a hammock. What kind of life is that? I mean, a couple hours is great. And so, life is supposed to be a great adventure. And I don't want to miss any opportunity that God might provide for me, and I don't want you to miss any opportunity he might provide for you. And it starts with an awareness that there's a sailboat out there. But you got to look beyond the hammock. You got to look beyond what may be a distraction. And you got to look at whatever means God might provide for you to get you beyond where you are, out into the open sea. Here's the verses I want to look at this morning. Psalm 107, verse 23 and 24. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they have seen the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. This verse challenges me to get out of my comfort zone, climb out of that hammock, swim out to the boat, and get on board and set sail and see where God is going to take me and what God is going to do in my life. These verses were written to Jewish people originally. And generally speaking, for Jewish people, water is a problem, especially Old Testament Jewish people. Even before the nation was established, there was a lot of water on the earth during the flood. And God destroyed all living things except for those who were on the sailboat, the ark. And God rescued them and delivered them. Then you can read in the scriptures about the Red Sea. When Israel was about to be delivered from their bondage to slavery, there was this water barrier between where the people of Israel were and where God wanted them to be. And God showed up and parted that water and delivered his people. 40 years later, God's people are on the edge of the promised land, and there's another water barrier, the Jordan River. that separated God's people from where they were to where he wanted them to be. And once again, God showed up. He parted that water and allowed his people to enter into the promised land, into a great opportunity that he had provided for them. And so water for Israel is kind of a symbolic barrier between where they are and where God wants them to be. And for a Jewish person to read a verse like that, they're going, you got to be kidding. Out into the open sea, they don't like, you know, they did not used to like water because it was seen as an obstacle and dangerous and so forth. But if you can get past the hammock and into the boat and set sail, get beyond that obstacle of the fear of the unknown and say, God, I'll let you take me wherever you want me to go. Just put that desire in my heart. I want to live for you. I want to honor you. I want to be pleasing to you. I want you to be my delight. Watch what God does for you. Watch what he puts in your heart, the desire that he gives to you. But you have to trust him to get you past your obstacle, get you past your obstacles into the opportunities. Listen, that he has created for you already. He's already created opportunities. Don't miss them. Don't miss them. Sometimes you're going to have to face your fears and jump into the water. And that is, when you do that, then you end up in the place where you see God starting to do what only God can do. You're going to have to sometimes try to do things that you don't think you can do. Sometimes you're going to have to think about things that maybe you don't want to think about. Sometimes you're going to have to maybe say things you don't want to say or do things you don't want to do or try new things that are going to push you out of your comfort zone out there into the deep. And that's where God begins to do only what only God can do. So if you want to see God do wonders in your life, you've got to get away from the warm, shallow, comfortable shore where you just kind of sway in the hammock day after day after day. It's a nice view, but the view never changes. And you probably get kind of tired of that view after 10, 20, 30, 40 years. And then venture out into the sea of the unfamiliar. And then that's where God starts to show you things you thought you would never see before. Things you'd never do. You thought you could never do before. You're out there where God does what only God can do. So listen, the direction of your course, of your life, the course of your life begins with your orientation. Begins with your attitude about the life that God has given to you. I saw a friend recently who made some comments about some new challenges he's facing and just said, well, I guess about the only thing I have to look forward to is just going to heaven. And is missing everything that's here in life. And that would be tragic. So what is your basic attitude about the life that God has given to you? What's the basic attitude about it? Because that determines your orientation. And your orientation determines your destination. Determines your destiny in life. So a starting place is what I've put in your bulletin there for you. Look, think about your life. And you can check the box or the little blank if you want to. You've checked it in your mind at least. You may not want to put it on paper, whatever you can if you want to. But just think about the basic orientation to your life as you view it. As you look back, do you see that your life is filled with opportunities or obstacles? What's your basic orientation? So some people, when they think about this great, vast, open sea called life, are paralyzed by the fear of the unknown because they just see obstacles galore. I see them. But those obstacles turn into opportunities when we say yes to God. Sometimes people are fearful of opportunities because they don't know what's out there. I've actually talked to people who are afraid that maybe this opportunity that is before them will be a success. And now what do? There are some people who can't handle success real well. There are some people who can't handle failure real well. And they are paralyzed in life. And they just find that it's easier to climb in a hammock and stay for a while and sway for a while. And there they rest. There they are. Missing great opportunities that God is providing. Others Recognize that there are unlimited opportunities, God-ordained opportunities, God-glorifying adventures, many of them. But we have to look beyond the horizon. You got to look beyond the hammock and to see that there's an opportunity out there for something greater. And there's a great reward for those who will say yes to that challenge. There's a great reward for those who will trust God out there in the deep. And you get to watch him do what only he can do. You get to watch God do what only he can do. Notice what it says here in this verse, this phrase. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they have seen the works of the Lord. You want to see God do some amazing things in your life? Get in that boat. Get out of the hammock and get out there. What is God prompting you to do? Think about it this way, Zoe. And don't ever let money be the obstacle. If money were not a problem, what would you be doing? As long as it's not sinful and selfish, if it's God-honoring, God-glorifying, or something you just enjoy that would make you what you believe to be a better person, with a broader perspective, a better biblical worldview and so forth, what would you do? I talk to people all the time, for example, about traveling to Israel. We're going to go again in March. And people, sometimes they say, I just can't afford that. I said, don't let money be the obstacle. And it's expensive, yes. It's an investment, yes. But, I mean, those of you who have been, do you regret it? No. Would you go again? Oh, yeah. It is an awesome, awesome experience. And many, many other things that, you know, and people see what I put on Facebook. They see what I eat on Facebook. And they go, why do you do that? And I've got a friend from high school who wrote recently. She said, you are a busy man. You do a lot of things. And it's because that's how I want my life to be. I want to be engaged. I want to be involved. I want it to be an adventure. I want to see the world that God made. I want to meet the people that are out there. I want to have an amazing, adventurous life, and God has seen fit to provide, and he always does. And so, as you look at your life, think about what you've seen already in your years here on earth. Do you see God's fingerprints on your life? Do you see that he has been involved in leading you and providing for you? Do you have many memories or any memories of the times when God showed up? And I'll say this reverently, even when God showed off. I think he likes to do that. In fact, our friend Randy Kramer has been in the hospital. How long now, Deb? 31 days in the hospital. And he's doing better, isn't he? Yeah. As we were there with Randy, and David Robinson mentioned this a while back, the doctors were just not too sure he was going to make it. But as we prayed together, and I said, God, just show off. He's been doing it. God's been showing his strength and what only God can do. And there have been some miracles in Randy's life. Yeah. Here's a second option I want you to think about. My life reward is, what are you getting out of your life? What have you been receiving in the years that you've been here on earth? Some of you have been around a lot less than I have, and some of you have been around a little bit longer, I'll say it that way, than I have. As you look back, do you see God's fingerprints? Do you see his wonderful works? Do you see some amazing things that God has done for you and through you and even in spite of you? Or is it like a routine scene? I see sky and I see palm branches. And that's all I see. Is it routine or is it varied? And is it adventurous? And you know, if the second option you've chosen is the routine scene, I want you to know that the rest of your life doesn't have to look that way. The scenery can change. Depends on your orientation. Depends on what you're looking at. Depends on your vision. Depends on what you believe God can do for you and through you. It depends on whether or not you really believe that God is has put a desire in your heart, and you have to ask the question, why did he do that? He wants you to do it. But you got to get past your fears. You got to get past the obstacles. You have to climb out of the hammock. And you have to get out into the water and swim to that sailboat. I don't know what that looks like for you. I know what it looks like for me at times. And you're smart enough to know what that hammock represents and what jumping into the water represents. I'll tell you what. Once you get onto that sailboat and you head out, and God starts to guide you out onto those great waters, it's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be fun. Because you know that out there in the ocean, sometimes there's storms that swell. At least if you're on the shore, you can run for cover. But if you're out in the open sea and that wind starts blowing, it can be rather scary and rather treacherous and rather dangerous. Notice this. Here's the next part of Psalm 107. The next couple of verses. He spoke and raised up a stormy wind which lifted up the waves of the sea. This is after he led people out there into the deep. Thanks for the storm, God. They rose up to the heavens, the waves did. They went down to the depths, those inside the ship, and their soul melted away in their misery. They reeled and staggered like a drunken man and were at their wits' ends. I was out on the ocean this week with some friends, salmon fishing. The water was calm, but we were, you know, rolling around a little bit. My legs are sore from having to lean up against the boat so I didn't, you know, lose my balance and those kinds of things. But I think this is why so many people would rather just hang out in a hammock. At least I know what to expect. Palm branches for the rest of my life. Little threat there. It's not real scary, but it can get real boring real quick. I mean, it's beautiful for an hour or two or three, but not for a decade or two or three. There's so much more out there. That's why some people won't try anything different. This is why some people won't try anything daring, whether it's going to stretch them or challenge them, because it might be scary. But this isn't the end of the psalm. There's more. Notice what else is written here. Verse 28, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distresses. He caused the storm to be still so that the waves of the sea were hushed. You've heard people say, if God brings you to it, he can bring you through it. And that's true with the storms of life. They will come. If you cry out, God will hear, and he is able to stop that storm. However, I know there are times when the storm continues. And you're wondering, God, where are you? Am I alone? Have you forgotten about me? Have you abandoned me? What is up? Where are you? Why won't you stop what is destroying me? And I want you to know that God is not destroying you. God is developing you. And he does it through rough seas. He does it through storms. He does it through trials. He does it through trouble. Through storms, God strengthens our character. That's what the Bible says. Notice these verses from the Phillips paraphrase of the scripture, James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. When all kinds of trials and temptations crowd into your lives, my brothers, don't resent them as intruders. Look at this. But welcome them as friends. Hey, good to see you. Really? Trouble? Trials? Problems? Realize that they come to test your faith and to produce in you the quality of what? Endurance. But let the process go on until that endurance is fully, see that word, developed. God's developing you. He's not destroying you. And you will find you have become men of mature character, women of mature character, with the right sort of independence. So through the storms, God develops our character. He strengthens our character. And through storms, God strengthens our faith. Here's another section of scripture, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. There's wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. So storms are going to strengthen your character. Storms are going to strengthen your faith. And what I want you to know, see the next verse in Psalm 107? Then they were glad because they were quiet. The waves were quiet. So God guided them to their desired haven, brought them safely through. I want you to know this. You might be trusting God. You might be in the middle of a horrendous storm right now. And you thought that when you launched this thing that it was going to be fair weather, fair conditions. But in the middle of your storm, whatever it might be, however long it's been lasting, I want you to know this. God hasn't forgotten you. He's there in the boat with you. He understands. He knows. And he's not going to give up on you. That's what these verses are talking about. It started out this morning with the challenge to go out into the deep. And there will be storms. But God is with you and he will calm those storms. Maybe not right away, but he eventually will. He's not going to give up on you. Verse 31, let them, those who have been delivered, give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness. And for his wonders, there's that word again, to the sons of men. Let them extol him or speak positively about him, also in the congregation of the people, and praise him at the seat of the elders. This word loving kindness, I haven't defined it in a while. I want to do that for you who haven't heard the definition that I borrowed from Chuck Swindoll. It's not original with me. Loving is when your parents buy you an ice cream cone. Loving kindness is when it's chocolate dipped. That's the way God loves us. Now, where's that chocolate dipped ice cream cone? It's out in the deep. And you don't appreciate it until you've been through some storms to see the goodness of God and his guidance and his guarding of you through those difficult times. It is only out in the deep where God does what only God can do. There's lots of things that can happen on the beach, but why do you need God at the beach if you're just swaying in the breeze, looking at palm branches? So whether God delivers you from a storm or whether God opens doors to amazing adventures, he's going to give you something to talk about. To the congregation, to the elders, to the spiritual leaders, to people in your life, you will never believe what God did for me. I have a story to tell about his guiding and his guarding. Okay, so it's your life. God's given you an incredible gift. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to get out of it? You know what you get out of it? You get out of it what you put into it. And if you want the kind of life where you see God do what only God can do, get out of the hammock and get out there onto the boat. And here's how you do that. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? Do it. Pursue that. If it honors God, if your life is honoring God already, if it's not something sinful, it's not something you could hide, but something that you could talk about openly in church or with Christian friends or neighbors or whatever it might be, it's your life. What do you want to get out of it? You know, some people are satisfied with the status quo. And they're okay at looking at the sky through palm branches and waiting in the warm, shallow surf. But there's not much risk. Other people would rather have God guide them to places where they thought they would never go. Others would rather have God enable them to do things they thought they could never do. Bingo, that's what I signed up for. That's what I want my life to be about. And God's done some amazing things. But in that whole process, there have been storms, and there will be storms. I know that. So a part of the package, I suppose, is that I need to allow God to strengthen my character and to strengthen my faith as I am clinging for life through some pretty treacherous waters, some pretty dark days, pretty dark moments. It's like Andre Crouch. Andre Sims is a pastor friend of mine. Andre Crouch saying, if I never had a problem, I would never know that God could solve them. I'd never know what my faith in God could do. And sometimes why God allows troubles to come to our lives, because he just wants to, I say it reverently, show off. Did you know this about me? Let me teach this to you. And then he teaches it. It's amazing. You're going to get out of life what you put into it. You can stay and sway, or you can venture out into the deep. You make the decision. You make the choice. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? Make God your delight. Be satisfied with him. Live for him. Please him. And then do whatever you want to do. Because that desire is what he's put in your heart, because that's what he wants you to do. It's going to be scary. You're going to be challenged. It's going to be tough. But boy, you're going to have some stories to tell. Let's pray. Father, I'm grateful for this simple verse challenging us to trust you as you guard us and guide us through life. We know that not once have you ever failed. You have never lost a sheep. You have never missed an opportunity to show your greatness. When people are asking you to show your greatness, when people are crying out to you, when people need you, when people want you, when people are seeking to honor you by saying yes to the challenges and the opportunities and the desires that you have planted in their hearts. And God, I think that you are well pleased. You get a lot of joy out of watching your children say, I'll go, I'll do that. That's something that I'm interested in. I think that's something that would be fascinating. It's not going to be easy. There are going to be challenges. I think about the 27 years here at West Hill Church. We have had some really dark, stormy days and years. We have had some problems that have been deep. But God, you have seen fit to give us fair seas and good weather. And you're blessing this ministry. You're expanding it. You're growing it. We're having opportunities to challenge other people to come on board and see where God takes us. So God, that let that continue to be our experience. I know that there will be dark days ahead. I know that there will be storms. I know that there will be challenges. That's just a part of life. But I know that in all of that, you will always be God. And we can always trust you. You will always be good. You will always do the right thing, not only for us as a church family, God, but for every individual here and every individual listening, that you will always be God. You will always guide. You will always guard. You will always rescue. You will always deliver. You have never failed once. And you never will. And we take great comfort in that. And we're encouraged and we're strengthened. So plant those desires in our hearts, God. Give us the faith and the grace to say yes. And we'll follow. We'll say yes to what you challenge us and call us to do. And we'll do that in Jesus' name. We'll do it to honor him and to glorify him. Amen.